Thank you so much for giving me the floor. As a young member of the Norwegian Parliament, I was in Rio in 1992. That was my first visit to Brazil. Later, I came on repeated visits to Acre, to Boa Vista, to Foz do Iguazu, I mean, to any number of places in this fantastic nation. And let me tell you, you know it already, if there is a nation on the planet which is easy to love, is Brazil. Such a beauty of the nature, such a variety of the nature, and so many brilliant, excellent people. This is a fantastic nation. You are in the midst of a crisis, yes, we all know, but I'm absolutely confident you will come out of this crisis victorious, strong, and you will surge back as a global important power. So please be confident in your own strength. Let me congratulate President or Senator Collor and all of you with what you achieved in Rio in 1992. And allow me to do that on behalf of Secretary General Antonio Guterres and the entire UN family. What you did in 1992 was great service to humanity and great service to the planet. It's fun to listen to your stories about Chinese leader Li Peng or American President George Bush or all the practical issues you were facing. So thank you for bringing this to our attention. But at the end, this was one of the most important conferences ever in human history. And I also am of the opinion that it put the planet at the end on a new course, which is very beneficial to all of us. If we ask the question, how can we take the Rio message into the future, which is what I want to address, we need to know what is the Rio message. And in my view, two issues stand out. I mean, they were both hinted to in all the previous speakers. Number one, the Rio message is there is nothing like an environmental path, a development path, an economic path. It's all one united development path, which is economic, social, and environment. And we can only be successful in Brazil or China, in the United States or Africa. We can only be successful if these three are merged and we see all the potential wins. And frankly, that's also why the private sector is so essential and why the private sector is not the driving force in many places for the environment, because they see the benefits of bringing these together. I was in Sao Paulo a few months back meeting the Banking Association of Brazil. Some people who may think that the bankers are some old-fashioned guys with no real interest in the environment, tell you these guys were in the forefront of environment thinking. They were well in front of many non-governmental organizations, not to speak about many politicians. They were really into the environment because they see it as important to the development of Brazil and at the end of the day also to their own business. There's one agenda. The second message from Brazil is, from Rio, is we are into this together. The most important word in the world today, in my view, is the word together. Some politicians, yes, in the United States of America, in Europe and some other places, speak as if a nation can go it alone. No one can do that, not even the strongest. Every main issue of the planet today, peace and security, environment, getting everyone out of poverty, having social progress, creating jobs, we are all in this together. We can only be successful together or fail together. It's not that one nation can be successful and everyone else fail. That may have been the case in the early part of human history, where there was no win-win situation. I mean, if you were rich, I could come and grab your land, and then I had some land. But that's the past. Now we can all win together because we can produce more and better together. We can be rich and affluent together. That's the message from Rio. We're into this together. Let me set out three main areas where we need to act on the basis of being together and on the basis of one joint agenda. Number one, we need to create a pollution-free planet. Surprising to many, pollution is now the biggest killer of humanity. That was far from the case in 1992. at that time, transmittable diseases were the biggest killers of humanity. At that time, we still had smallpox, polio, measles, killing many people, malaria being an enormous source of death. Today, malaria, only even in Africa, has been reduced with 70% only since the year 2000. Smallpox is eradicated. Measles has gone down very substantially. Polio is only existing in Afghanistan and Pakistan and will be eradicated very soon. And because we have been so fantastically successful after Rio when it comes to global health, well, then new challenges are coming up. And the biggest killer of humans is now pollution. Brazil is one of the most urbanized nations on the planet. I think you're about 85%, correct me if I'm wrong, urbanized. You are city dwellers, most of you, and you, with the rest of us, need to take action to reduce city pollution and air pollution because it's a huge health issue as well as environment issue. And, of course, it's also a burden to the economy, so everything comes together. We can see the most successful cities on the planet, the Singapores, the Shenzhen in China, cities which have been enormously successful in reducing pollution, going green, as example. But there are many others. Curitiba in Brazil, I think, was the city inventing the system of making bus systems in metro style. So we can all learn from each other. In UN environment, we have launched Breathe Life with World Health Organization, and we encourage Brazilian cities to join this campaign with us. We also need to act on the enormous pollution of the world oceans. Brazil also has a long coastline. It's, as everywhere else, we have any amount of plastic coming in. We are now in a situation where by 2050, the weight of plastic in global oceans will be the same as the weight of fish, unless we take action. So obviously, we need to take action. We have launched a campaign called Clean Seas, and there is enormous interest from business, civil society, and governments. Indonesia, with an enormous coastline, as you know, 19,000 islands, they have said we will reduce plastic pollution by 70% in the next 7 years. Kenya has decided that they will prohibit plastic bags in Kenya, and many, many nations are taking action, and businesses are coming into this because they don't want to be seen as putting more and more plastic into the oceans. So we encourage Brazil to join this Clean Seas campaign and work with us on this. Secondly, next to pollution-free planet, we need to create a planet where we do not see the temperature increasing substantially. And the good news is the negative message coming from the White House 2 weeks back has created a counter-reaction all over the planet. It has really unified everyone else. I was at the G7 meeting. I came straight from Bologna here. All the 6 other members there, which are European, Canada, and Japan, all of them said, we will move ahead. We believe in climate science. This is essential for us, so we will not stop. And even more so, China, India, they not just said we will continue, they said we will even over-deliver. We will deliver our Paris commitment before time. And guess why? Because Prime Minister Modi of India is not speaking that often about climate change. But he speaks about clean India, and he speaks about providing electricity to the villages of India, and he speaks about the enormous opportunity for green jobs, and he gets all this with making India, with China, the prime drivers of the solar revolution of the world. Many of the Indian states, and many of them have tens of millions of people, are now going green at a speed we never thought possible. And the enormous market of China and of India are bringing down the price of solar so fast that it can compete with fossil fuels everywhere in the world. Last 2 years, for the first time in human history, we got more electricity from solar and wind than from oil, gas, and coal combined. And even in the United States of America, there are 400,000 jobs in solar, 70,000 jobs in coal. Still, some people speak as if coal is the engine of the economy. So the reaction from the White House has been China, India, Europe, Brazil, Canada, Japan, you name them all, Africa, absolutely united, we will move ahead. But really, as interesting as that was the reaction from the private sector, all over the planet, but in the United States itself. All the key companies in modern capitalism, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, all of them said, we are in disagreement with the president, but more important, we will not stop. We will go green, we will move into the renewable economy, whatever happens in the White House, because we have never done this for the White House. We do it for our customers, we do it for the environment, and we do it because it's sound business for us. And not just these modern companies like Apple and Google. Well, the biggest brewery in the world said the same. The biggest investor in the world, BlackRock, said the same. One of the biggest banks in the world, Goldman Sachs, said the same. And the stock exchange value of Tesla has now surpassed the stock exchange value of Ford and General Motors. But let's be honest, Tesla is not making many cars. They're making maybe 5% of the cars of General Motors. So it's not about what they do now. It's about how markets and investors see the future. They're confident that the future is green, and that's why they value Tesla more than General Motors, because they believe Tesla will deliver the cars of the future. And by the way, Chinese companies of the same type are delivering as many cars as Tesla. So, pollution-free planet, jointly attacking climate change, private and public sector, China and the United States, Brazil and India, everyone together. Third issue is to protect the beauty of the nature. It's immense in Brazil. If you go through the Amazon, you see any number of birds, any number of butterflies. If you are very lucky, you may also see jaguars or other species. It's an enormous beauty. You are the most mega biodiverse nation on the planet. And, of course, what you do in the Amazon is key for biodiversity, key for the beauty of Brazil, key for tourism to Brazil, but it's also key for climate. There has been, overall, since Rio, an enormous success. It was hinted to that one of the ambassadors said that before Rio, Brazil was seen as a nation which destroyed the forest. That changed after Rio, and for the last many years, the deforestation in the Amazon came down year by year, and Brazil was the role model. Whenever I went to Jakarta, Indonesia, I told them, well, if Brazil can, of course you can. If I went to Bogota, Colombia, I told people there, well, if Brazil can, you can. But there has been a somewhat disturbing increase in the deforestation in the Amazon over the last couple of years. I would strongly encourage you to stop that, because if it's allowed to continue, it will be bad for the reputation of Brazil, and we need you as a global role model for how to go green and protect the forest at the same time. So in the meeting earlier today, I strongly encourage the president to either veto or find a way of amending or changing this legislation, which is now in the Congress, because we in the UN cannot decide how that will be done, just to make sure that that you are not destroying the forest, because it will be bad for Brazil, but also bad for the world. President Temer said, and that was very encouraging, he said, I have reduced the inflation in Brazil from 10 to 6%. That's very, very important for Brazil. I want to do something similar with that, with the deforestation. And let's the UN stand ready to support him or any other Brazilian leader in reducing deforestation in the same way as you have reduced inflation. And please support such a policy. So, finally, the Rio conference in 1992 was a huge achievement for humanity. It put us on a path which we need to continue. And the main issue is to understand that we are into this together, everyone on the planet, private sector and government and civil society, but of course all corners of the world, and that we need one joint agenda for providing jobs, providing social progress, and taking care of the environment. And if you need a slogan, I think the newly elected, exciting French president has given us that slogan. He said on Twitter, and he got hundreds of thousands of followers on that, he said, "Let's make the planet great again."